wonderful poet from Ireland, John O'Donohue, writes these words, "Love is anything but sentimental. In fact, it is the most real and creative form of human presence. Love is the threshold where divine and human presence ebb and flow into each other." I think that's pretty much the essence of what it means to be in worship together, to be in that moment where the threshold of divine love and human presence ebb and flow together. Let us be in that moment. Open ourselves to one another, open ourselves to God, open ourselves to love.
Please join me in the call to worship. Creator God, source of our being, we turn to you for life and breath.
O love, have mercy on us.
Crucified and risen Christ, bearer of forgiveness and healing, we turn to you for grace.
O love, have mercy on us.
Holy Spirit, divine presence and energy within and among us, we turn to you on behalf of one another and the whole hurting world.
O love, have mercy on us and grant us your peace. Amen.
Please join me in the gathering prayer. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see Jesus as he reaches out to heal our blindness. Help us to let go of all those things that keep us in darkness. This day, as your word is proclaimed, let our hearts and soul respond with joy. Transform our lives to do your will. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. I want to invite the Keiki who are with us and the Keiki at heart to join me for just a moment. For those of you who feel chat proficient, I want to give you a chance real quick. I want you to just chat real fast. What is your favorite dessert? You do not have, all you have to be to answer that is to be able to chat it. You can send it to everyone, and you don't have to be a cakey in age. You can be a cakey in heart. All right, so we're getting cheese and biscuits. All right. Ice cream, of course, ice cream, marzipan, pots de creme, chocolate lava cake, cheesecake, chocolate chip cookies, hot fudge sundae, peach pie, chocolate cake, ice cream, pumpkin pie, sweet potato jalapeno pie, love it. Okay, anything chocolate, exactly. Vanilla ice cream with chocolate sauce, Kona ice cream with ginger sprinkles, creme brulee, pecan pie, of course, Annette. Root beer float. Okay, nice. Blueberry cream cheesecake. Mochi brownies. This is getting good. I'm excited about all this. Pecan pie again, German apple cake. Okay, the reason why I asked you all to do that is I will have a birthday sometime this year, and I would like each of you to make that dish that you just said and send it to my house. No, just kidding. What I want you to do is if you chatted something there, or if you saw something there, and I'm gonna switch my view to gallery view so I can see more faces. If you saw something there that you loved, and I know that there are a few of you that say that you're not big dessert fans, hard to imagine, and some of you who even claim to not really care for chocolate, sacrilege, but so be it. I want you to right now, in your mind's eye, envision that dessert that you love, and I want you to let your face show it. I'm looking at a bunch of faces here. Love it, Brendan. Nice. I see eyes closed. I see things happening. So one of the scriptures that Danny is going to read for us really quickly is from one of the Psalms, in Psalm 34, and it says, "Taste and see how good God is." And I think that face that we just made when we thought about that favorite dessert of ours, where our eyes light up or they close because we are so deeply savoring, and our mouth lights up and even our ears come open to the thought of it, that's what we are called into, a world in which God is that good. God is that good that it light, God lights up our face in the same way a lemon meringue pie, a key lime pie, a chocolate jalapeno pie might be, the same way an apple upside down cake, or even more recently a pineapple upside down cake, or a peach upside down cake, or a chocolate lava cake. Name it. The way your face lights up is how good God is. And in that same Psalm 34, it says, "Those who look to God will shine." That ought to be one of our goals in life, that we are so connected to a God that is so good that our face, our very way we carry ourselves, shines as if we are tasting and seeing just how good God is. So I want to invite you all, the next time that you are having one of those desserts, the next time you are having a meal that is just so amazing, or the next time you're at the beach and you're seeing the waves come in, or the sunrise or the sunset, and you go, realize that God is speaking to you in that moment, and allow that moment to come forth in your own way, in your own face as well. So with smiles on our faces, with a lift in our hearts and a song in our souls, let us unmute ourselves and wish God's peace to one another. Peace be with you all this day. All right. Danny, you want to share the scriptures with us?
Okay. The first scripture is Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8. "I will God at all times. God's praise will always be in my mouth. Praise God. Let the suffering listen and rejoice. Magnify God with me. Together, let us lift God's name up high. I sought our God, and God answered me. God delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to God will shine. Their faces will never be ashamed. The suffering person cried out. God listened and saved them from every trouble. On every side, the God messenger protects those who honor God, and God delivers them. Taste and see how good God is. The one who takes refuge in him is truly happy. The second reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Jesus and his followers came to Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man. "Be encouraged. Get up. He's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. Thus ends the reading.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you for sharing that story, the story of Bartimaeus. You know, I noticed in the chat somebody commented on the flower arrangement, and I think Lee sent a note that those were the flowers that were donated by Desiree, that were arranged by Desiree last Saturday on the 16th of October for the altar for when we gathered together to celebrate Esther Dye's 98-year life. It was a really wonderful celebration. There were just a handful of us there inside the sanctuary, many, many more on Zoom that Saturday. And towards the beginning of that service, there was a poem that was read, a poem that many of you are familiar with by Mary Oliver called The Summer Day. And at the end of that poem, there's this wonderful, beautiful couple of lines in which Mary Oliver simply asked, "Tell me what it is you plan to do with your one wild and precious life. Tell me what it is you plan to do with your one wild and precious life." And the rest of the service, as it unfolded, particularly the next number of minutes when each of Esther's five children talked about their mom, what unfolded was a person who had clearly seized a hold of the choice that is given to us by God to have this one wild and precious life and then live that life so fully and so wonderfully. If we wanted to create a mission statement for a person, an individual mission statement for a person of faith or for a community of faith or for the church writ large, we could not come up with a better mission statement than perhaps simply to make it possible for everyone, in fact, not just everyone, but the entirety of God's creation, to be able to choose what to do with their one wild and precious life. For that is truly the gift that is given to us when the breath of God is breathed into us. We are, what is breathed into us is the gift of life in which we get to choose what to do with that one wild, precious life. But the truth of the matter is the world in which we live in, the world in which we live in, the societal structures and all that have been created and some of the inequities that exist make it so that for many people, and many parts of God's creation, that gift of choice, that gift of being handed one wild, precious life, does not feel like a gift for many people. And so for us, people of faith, community of faith, called to make possible for everyone to choose what to do with that one wild and precious life, we are called to ministries that are both systemic about transformation, and they are both individual about our presence and the way our presence can transform. For instance, we live in a community right here in Honolulu, where the statistics will tell us that if you are a person who is living on the streets, your life expectancy is 20 years less than those who have homes over their heads. Your life expectancy, if you're living on the street, is 20 years less than those who have homes, roofs over their heads. And that tells me that that is a systemic problem that we have. And as MacArthur, our MacArthur member of our church, who is the present chaplain of the Institute for Human Services, says, part of the call of we as people of faith, as individuals and communities of faith, is to help to eliminate those barriers to transform our society and transform our community, so that those very barriers that make it impossible for many of the folks who are there left to be houseless and homeless, impossible to be able to embrace a life that is wild and precious. And in the same way, we are called to ministry of presence. When Irene was the chaplain at the Institute for Human Services, Irene talked to me one time and she said, how I understand my ministry to be is to simply be a mirror when I am sitting with someone on the streets, to be a mirror that allows the person to be able to see the light of God that is within them. To be that mirror that allows them to see the light of God that is within them. We are called to such ministry of presence as well. We are called, if we live in a society, we live in a culture in which not everyone is able to embrace that one wild and precious life, then to do what we can, whether as an individual presence or working for systemic transformation. When I hear the story that Danny just read to us of Bartimaeus, a blind man 2,000 years ago in Palestine, Bartimaeus would be one of those who has the odds of life stacked against him. For in the culture in which he lived, it is not only that he could not see, but in the culture that he lived, it was a culture that privileged those who were male and able-bodied. If he was blind, he was considered to not only be out of favor with God, but he was also considered to not be able-bodied. And as a result of that, the society was structured in a way that the only choice that Bartimaeus had was not to be able to choose a wild and precious life, but simply to choose to survive. And his only way of surviving was to be a beggar. And so the story tells us that as Jesus is heading out of the road of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, there is Bartimaeus, one of those who has been consigned to the margins, one of those who has been created to be the least, the lost, and the last by the way that society has structured itself. And if one were to come up to Bartimaeus there before Jesus has come to him and say, hey, Bartimaeus, what do you want to do with your one wild and precious life? One might not be surprised if Bartimaeus were to look at them and say, this life that I have right here, standing on the side of the road, hoping for someone to have pity on me and give me some paltry sum of coins that they toss at me to fight over morsels with those who are also begging with me. When the highlight of my year is this week, it is the week before Passover, when pilgrims from all around are on all roads leading to Jerusalem, so that maybe now there are more people to throw paltry sets of coins at me. This is my wild and precious life. This is the life that you're asking me about. But on this day, on this day that the story tells us, Jesus is on the move. He has come to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and he is now in the last walk, the last stage to Jerusalem. He has passed through Jericho, and he is 10 miles away from Jerusalem. And on his way, Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David," using the messianic name, the Son of David. And maybe it's because Bartimaeus can see with his inner eye that which no one else has been able to see so far, or maybe it is simply to get attention. Because when you get attention, you might get just a little bit more money sent that way. And for this moment to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," he is shushed. He is shunned. He is told to be quiet. Because then, like now, there is an unwritten expectation that those who are not seen, those who have been marginalized, those who have put off to become the least and the last and the lost, those people, they do not get to choose whether to be seen. It is we who carry the preferences, we who carry the privileges, that get to decide whether or not a person is clean. So today, when you're in your car and you drive up to an intersection, stopped at a red light, and you see a person there, as we see in so many of our intersections, holding a handmade cardboard sign that says, "Please help, anything will do," the expectation is that we can keep our eyes looking forward. We do not have to make eye contact. It is our choice whether we want to reach into our wallet and hand some money. It is our choice whether or not we want to see them. It is not their choice. God forbid if what they were to do is to stand up and pound on your windshield and say, "Hey, hey." God forbid they were to look in and you happen to be wearing a name tag and say, "David, do you see what is going on in my life here?" It is not their choice. The unwritten rules in which we live in our community is that we who are the ones who see get to choose who we see. And when Bartimaeus calls out, he who cannot see but is also unseen by others, when Bartimaeus calls out and says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," he is shushed and shunned. But Jesus, who has never played by the rules of the game, who has never given in to the norms of society, who has been the one who has spoken to those who we don't speak to, the demon-possessed, has been the one who has gathered those who we push to the side, the orphans, the widows, has been the one who has made a place of welcome to those that we choose to make unwelcome, the slaves, the visitor, the strangers. Jesus hears Bartimaeus's call, and he says, "Bring him forward to me. Bring him forward to me." Jesus sees him. Jesus sees him when everyone else would rather not see him. Jesus sees, as we talked about a few weeks ago, in the words of Martin Buber, the thou-ness of Bartimaeus. Remember that same wealthy man that just a couple weeks ago we talked about, that when he says to Jesus, "What shall I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus, it says, looks at him with love, looks at him with agape, with unconditional love. Imagine the same look now for Bartimaeus. And we know that Jesus sees him because Jesus says to him those magical words, "What would you have me do for you?" So often when I think about the healing that Jesus undergoes, I think about healing in these huge crowds where he's going left and right and just sort of working his way through the crowd, and people are reaching out to touch him, and he is reaching out, and to the blind person he gives sight, and to the deaf he gives hearing, and to the cripple he gives the ability to walk. But there's virtually no human, there's no contact, there's no connection there. This is not one of those situations. This is a situation where Jesus has indeed stopped and is eyeball to eyeball with this person who cannot see, but Jesus chooses to see when no one else will see. And he says, "What would you have me do for you?" And Bartimaeus simply says, "Teacher, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." And we all read that and we go, well, of course that's what he would ask. If you're blind, of course you want to be able to see. But 20 centuries ago in that time of Palestine, not only when he says, "I want to see," is he asking for vision to be returned to his eyes, he is also asking to be seen. Because rightly or wrongly, the moment that he is no longer blind, he is now an able-bodied male in a culture that preferences and privileges able-bodied male, and he is now able to be seen and have choice now. Because he can be seen, he has choice, and he can answer that question of what would you do with your one wild, precious life. We may think poorly of a society that shuns one who is blind, but we have our own limits that we have created in our own world that make it quite impossible for so many people to choose how they shall live their lives. That's why so many of you here in the church are working to provide a living wage for so many people, because a living wage gives people the ability to choose. That's why so many of you are working to combat climate change, because a climate out of control robs those who have contributed to the problem the least of the lives that would give them wild and precious wonder. It is why we have chosen over these last 19 to 20 months to shelter in place, to wear masks, to not sing, to not do so much that we long to do, so as to ensure as to keep others safe and healthy, so that they may enjoy the wild and precious life that has been given to him. So Jesus, by restoring sight to Bartimaeus, gives him the ability to choose what he will do with this wild and precious life. And we know this because clearly, because the first word that he says after Bartimaeus has been healed is simply "go." To say to him to go is to give him choice. He doesn't tell him where to go to. He can go anywhere. He can choose to go back to his home and choose to give his mom and dad a hug, choose to give Timaeus a hug and see Timaeus for the first time in a long time. He can choose to have his nieces and nephews bouncing on his knee. He can choose to go to the local employer and get a job. He can choose to go to the temple and show the priests and the Levites what has happened here. He can choose anything, because all Jesus has said to him is go. Go. Choose what to do, because now you can. Now your life is not simply limited to begging for survival. Now you can choose. What I love about this story is what Bartimaeus chooses. What it says is, after Jesus tells him to go, it says he began to follow Jesus on the way. That's his choice. He could go anywhere, but he began to follow Jesus on the way. This is what he chooses to do with his wild and precious life. In the last 19 to 20 months have presented many of us with choices that we had not been making before. When we were told to shelter in place, when we were finding ourselves consigned to the four walls of our apartments or our homes, of our spaces, and we were asking ourselves, what am I going to do with myself when I can't get out? And so many people made choices. They made choices. I'm going to learn another language. That was one of my choices. I didn't succeed, but that's all right. It was a choice I could make. I learned to play another instrument. I thought I'd learn how to play guitar. Didn't happen. That's okay. I got to make a choice. Going to learn to eat, to be more healthy, to be more fit. Well, the little pooch that I have there will tell you that I didn't do all that much to change all that. But it doesn't matter. Those are choices, but those are choices that are like icing on the cake. Did I choose? Did we choose in these last 18 to 20 months to follow Jesus on the way? as Bartimaeus chooses in this moment, when he can choose his wild and precious life? Have I made that choice before COVID hit? Will I make that choice day after day after day? Will that be my choice to follow Jesus on the way? Bartimaeus, the living embodiment of what Jesus has been teaching, in which the last shall be first, he is the last disciple. He is the last one to join that crew on their way to Jerusalem with all that he has before him, with all the possibilities that have been just opened up in his life. He chooses to follow Jesus on the way. There's no language here about choosing to make Jesus his personal Lord and Savior. No language here of any sort of theological dogma or anything else. It is simply to follow Jesus on the way. And to follow Jesus on the way is both literal, or Jericho, the way at this moment. Jericho is only 10 miles from Jerusalem. To follow Jesus on the way is literally to walk those 10 miles with Jesus to Jerusalem. But it is also so very metaphorical. Remember, Jesus's followers were known as people of the way, a way of life. And it's not just a life that is guaranteed that if you follow Jesus, all will go well, as the purveyors of prosperity gospel theology will tell you. No, because the way into Jerusalem, the way into Jerusalem with Jesus is a way into a place where the authorities, Jewish and Roman, are waiting for Jesus and they are none too pleased. The way into Jerusalem is the way into a crowd that on one day will be saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, praise God," and on the next few days we'll be saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." To choose the way into Jerusalem with Jesus is to choose the way that leads to Golgotha, to the hill of the skulls, to crucifixion. To choose to follow Jesus on the way, whether you are Bartimaeus or us, is to be willing to go into the storm. This is what the early church did. When the Roman world and the Jewish world was not too pleased with their existence, they went into the storm. This is what St. Francis did. This is what Dorothy Day did. This is what John Lewis does. This is what those young people who we honored at our Martin Luther King Awards ceremony this last year, those young people who are fighting to become, that are climate change activists, that are young people organizing the Black Lives Matter movement here in Hawaii. They are people who are walking into the storm. My one wild, precious life, as I read the story of Bartimaeus and I read the choice that he makes to follow Jesus on the way, have I been, am I now, will I continue to be a follower of this way? Is this the way I have chosen to live? And clearly, if you are a follower of Jesus on the way, it is not just about toil and trouble, but it is a life also with a depth of spirit. With his one wild and precious life, Jesus chose repeatedly to take time away to refresh and renew his soul, to go into the mountains, to go to the shore, to be with family and friends, to enter into prayer and contemplation and renewal. He turned and called those who were with him to follow and do the same. Have I chosen? Have I chosen to make a life of that as well? When my life becomes a struggle, when overwhelm threatens to swallow me, have I sought the life of the ever-presence? Have I allowed my hyperventilating breaths that come out of stress become deeply inspirited instead? Have I chosen to dwell in the Spirit's presence, both in joy and struggle? Did Bartimaeus understand this? Do I understand this, as Irenaeus, generations after Bartimaeus, will say, in the desolation, in those times of trouble, remember the consolation, be present with God in the times of struggle, and know that God is there in the times of joy. And in the times of joy, remember the desolation, to know that God's Spirit is with us in the ebb and flow of all life. Is this what I have chosen? Is this what we have chosen? For Bartimaeus, to choose to follow Jesus on the way is to choose to walk alone, is to choose to not walk alone, but instead to walk with a community of faith, when in a week's time his life is going to implode, the one who has seen him and given him sight will now be pierced by a spear. Will he run away or toward the community, fractured that is founded on love? When the early years of the church and authorities are doing all they can to squash the movement, will he lean into the strength that comes with numbers? When the widow, when the orphan, the leper, the deaf, the blind are looking for love, will he ensure that there is a community that will call them home? Have I chosen this path? When I read this story, I ask myself that question. Not the hero's path. Not the rugged individual's path that we have so enshrined in our culture, but the path of a community where two or three are gathered in love. Whereas Gerald May says, when you are gathered in love, there is gratitude, relinquishment, celebration, service, play, praise, companionship, intimacy, communion, and always deeper yearning. In other words, a place where love calls to love. When Bartimaeus chooses to follow Jesus on the way, to do that with his one wild, precious life, what a choice he has made. David, Brendan, Carol, Sigrid, John, Linda, Liz, Jim, everyone who is on the screen, when God calls to us and says, what will you do with your one wild, precious life? Will you choose to follow me on the way? May it be so. May that be so in my life. May that be so in each of our lives as well. May the choice that Bartimaeus has made be our choice as well. Amen. And with Bartimaeus as the spirit of prayer, as the one who grabs a hold of prayer when Jesus offers him sight and the ability to be seen, and he cries out in joy to follow, may we come together as he did with the others in prayer as well. So let me share with you the few prayers that have come to me this week. And then I ask those that people have chatted to Linda. First comes from Clara, who asked for prayers of peace and comfort and strength for the ohana of her niece Sharon in Colorado and her Hanai nephew Bob, whose mother Joanna in California passed away recently. God, hear our prayers. We pray traveling mercies to Val and to Richard as they leave tomorrow to travel to the Bay Area to take care of the affairs of Val's brother, Greg, who passed away earlier this week. And for Greg's spirit and presence, God, we offer our prayers. God, hear our prayers. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The howling of your name echoed through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. For the hurts we cause others, forgive us. To forgive those who have hurt us, empower us. In times of temptation and tests, strengthen us. From trial too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Danny Morishigan. I've been a member of Church at a Crossroads since 1991. I'm currently the chair of the Stewardship Campaign Committee. It was a year ago tomorrow that I was lector starting our stewardship campaign for 2021. No, I will not be singing or doing a DJ dialogue. I want to share how I got into stewardship. Some of you may recall that our then moderator, David Bell, asked me to head the committee. At that time, David was wearing so many hats that I couldn't say no. But that wasn't the first time that I was asked to do stewardship work. It happened much earlier when I first joined the church and was still working as a social worker. One day, I got a call from Bob Dye, Lee Takagi's father, a longtime member of the church, who invited me to lunch at the Hungry Lion, which was close to my office. I decided that it would be a good opportunity to meet a church elder and get a free lunch. To my surprise, he came with Peter Bauer, who was also active in the church. I was a little leery that I would be asked to take on huge responsibilities at the church. At the beginning of lunch, I learned that Bob and Peter had worked for the YMCA. Bob's family had owned a candy shop that was eventually bought by Ed and Don's Candies. I shared a little bit about myself, working for Catholic Charities and having two adopted children, why we had joined the church, and etc. Toward the middle of lunch, Bob and Peter began talking about the church and the stewardship committee. They talked about the importance of the committee and how it helped to support all the different missions, the facilities, and the life of the church. At first, I thought I was being asked to head up the committee and was quickly assured that I would just be a member. They were really good about assuring me that I would be working with others in the campaign and would not be working alone. The finishing touch was that for dessert, they ordered different flavors of mochi ice cream, which was then a new dessert, and they allowed me to choose first. I thought, how could I decline their request after spending time with two elders, being taken to lunch, being encouraged to help the church and participate in the life of the church, and finally being offered mochi ice cream? Another thing I learned that day was that Bob and Peter love sweets. And they were right. It was a great experience participating in the stewardship committee. I met others in the committee and was able to contribute by suggesting that we divide up the list of people who had not turned in their pledges and give them personal calls. I met and talked with a lot of interesting members during these follow-up calls. I truly enjoyed the experience and work on the committee. Just think, if Bob Dye and Peter Bauer had not taken the time to meet with this guy who wasn't raised Christian and had to explain stewardship, I would not have been asked to chair the stewardship committee 26 years later. Sowing of seeds is done with love, nurture, and caring, even though people may be apprehensive and leery. I want to share this with you. Wanted to share this with you because as we approach the 100-year anniversary, we are reminded of our legacy from those who came before us. They built the church based on the novel idea that all kinds of people can worship together, when during those times, it was unheard of. Next week, we start our stewardship campaign, and I'm wearing green because our pledge cards are green. The pledge cards will be mailed out the first week of November. There will be no surveys to complete. Please complete the pledge cards and return it in the stamped self-addressed envelope. The campaign runs from October 31st until November 21st. Your quick response will enable the council to work on the church budget and present it to the congregation at our annual meeting in late January. This year's theme for our stewardship campaign committee is rooted in love. As we go through these difficult and trying times, our core reason for persevering and continuing is always rooted in love. It is our love for others, for our Mother Earth, for ourselves, our church, and for social justice that gives us hope and keeps us striving for a better world. In this challenging times when the need is greater, we all need to work together in doing our part to financially support the church and offer our time and talents to continue our missions and program. Who knows? If all of you turn in your privilege cards on time, you may get some mochi ice cream, too. Dear loving God, we give you thanks every beautiful morning to start our day in which we are able to receive and to share your many gifts with others. We also are thankful for the legacy of our founding members and succeeding members who helped to create and to grow an open and affirming church which is rooted in love. May we reflect each evening of the grace, gifts, and everlasting love that we have received and shared with others. Amen.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth you have for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unlock and set me free. Silently now on bended knee, ready I wait your will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth you send so clear. And while the message sounds in my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now on bended knee, ready I wait your word. open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with your children thus to share. Silently now on bended knee, ready I wait your will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Danny, I love the story of you being easily taken in by a free meal and some mochi ice cream. I have a list here that came to the chats of things like mochi ice cream that others like, pecan pie and strawberry shortcake and things like that. So if in the stewardship campaign we need to lean on a couple of people just a little bit, I know what they like, so we can share that together in the stewardship committee. Let us go forth into the world that awaits us. If we are so gifted to indeed be given the choice to have one wild and precious life, may we choose. May we choose wisely with that gift. May we choose to follow in the ways of love. Ima waku ka loko mai ka I o ka haku Yesu Christo. Me ke aloha o ke akua a me kaulana puana o ka uhane he molele me o koa pau. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.